Hi, this is Ken Blanchard. Welcome to the Blanchard Leader Chat podcast, where my friend and colleague Chad Gordon interviews experts helping support our vision of leaders powered for good. If that's your mission too, I know you'll be inspired by what you hear. I'll be back at the end to share what I've learned. Enjoy this episode of the Blanchard Leader Chat podcast.
John Conungo, welcome to the Blanchard Leader Chat podcast. How are you doing today?
I am fantastic. I am so excited to be on. And by the way, I've been waiting my entire life to be on this podcast. And so here we are. We made it. I made it. I'm just going to retire now, I think. This is incredible.
Give me 22 more minutes and then we'll talk about retirement. But Sean, your new book, The Bold Ones, Innovate and Disrupt to Become Truly Indispensable. What do you mean by bold ones?
You know what? I've spent my entire career helping organizations navigate this idea of a disruption, but I really became really passionate about this topic around innovation and disruption as it applies to the individual. I believe that an individual today can make a dent in their organization, in their industry, in the universe, because we have all the tools and technologies at our fingertips. And I just wanted to build a book to inspire people that you can go off and innovate. You can go off and disrupt your own industries and change the game in your particular industries, and giving people a playbook of how to do that. That's what The Bold Ones is. And what I did was I went throughout history and I looked at other disruptors and to see how they went off and disrupted their own industry. So I take modern influencers and thought leaders and innovators today and throughout history to tell the story.
I don't always say this. I've gotten to talk to a whole bunch of people, a lot of authors. I love the way the book's put together in terms of all the different stories, as you said, historical examples that help kind of like weave that thread for you. And something you just told me about the individual piece, that's what I find so intriguing to me in my journey as a lifelong learner. You can, as a person, learn new skills to help along this process of being a disruptor and helping your organization innovate. So this is for everybody, isn't it?
This is, you know what? I didn't want to make a book. You know, there's a lot of books on entrepreneurs and founders, and I didn't want to make a book that's just for those people. I wanted to make a book for the person that's like the payroll assistant or like the middle manager. I wanted for everyone to see that innovation is permissionless. You don't need knowledge. You don't need seniority. You don't need status to make it happen. And so I wanted to make a book for everyone to see that no matter where you fit within an organization, you can go off and innovate. So absolutely. And I wanted to, people for just to embrace this idea of how you can be a disruptor.
So there's ways that people can go about this and you address it from all the different angles. But when you think about somebody that's in their career and moving forward, especially with what has happened over the last 4 or 5 years, how we've changed so much, the workplace has changed, how we come to and show up to work changes, how we have to innovate in much more breakneck paces. People cannot rest on their laurels and their successes, right? They really have to keep their eye forward. Otherwise, they're going to get run over.
Yeah, I believe that, you know, staying in the middle, just maintaining the status quo is the most dangerous place to be. It is this. And, you know, I think this has been everyone that's come on this podcast has said the same thing, which is, you know, this idea of continuous learning, embracing curiosity, experimenting and taking risks. And, you know, I think that stuff, I think it's great. And we need to continue to, you know, just create and sustain that narrative. But really what I want people to do is like, we need to challenge conventional wisdom today. Like the world is changing around us. And I don't just want people that are learning and curious. I want people to challenge the status quo and to be bold and to take risks, because that's where we're going to create disproportionate value. Today, mediocrity is dead. And you have all these technologies that are coming about, like generative AI and other technologies, where it's proving that, you know, you can no longer sustain the status quo. You need to be able to take bold chances and bets and risks at the end of the day.
So you nailed something that is just so top of mind now for, I think, everybody in the workforce. Just how is technology going to change things? Not 5 years out, not 10 years out, but really soon. So if somebody was listening to this right now, Sean, and they said, okay, how do I begin to future proof myself? How do I begin to look at my approach to my career and my impact at the organization I work at? What's some of the steps you'd have them take?
Yeah. Number one is don't get romantic about all the learning and all the expertise that you've gained up until now. I mean, you should appreciate it. You should, have a party for all the status that you've accumulated over the last number of years, your learning, your expertise, your knowledge, but you should put that aside and learn the new technologies that are coming out. Not just like looking at a tweet or watching a YouTube video, like actually going off and doing something with it, actually putting yourself, making a sacrifice, whether it's your time or money, to learn about where the world is going. I'll give you an example. You know, I've been talking a lot about AI and the impact of AI. And, you know, the reality is that if you ask somebody 15 years ago, which jobs would artificial intelligence impact the most, you'd be like lifting and storing and warehousing. But right now, generative AI is coming for the most, the most creative jobs. And so you need to be able to figure out, how do I leverage AI? Otherwise, I believe that you're going to be irrelevant. Like, this is a paradigm shift type of technology. So that's just one. And the second is you need to learn how to not only, learn how to develop your skills, but how do you tell a better story? How do you tell a better narrative? And in this book, I really talk about the idea of cementing a narrative. How do you tell a story? How do you show, not tell? And I just think that in a world today where it's getting noisier and noisier, being able to not only build a great product or build a great service is important, but actually to tell the story around what that's all about is even more important. So those are some things that I would definitely double click on if I'm building a career in this highly changing world.
We get to hear a little bit about your background in the book, but would love for the listeners to hear kind of what led you to this point in your life where this is the topic that you felt like you wanted to bring out to the world.
Great question. I feel like growing up in a very traditional South Asian household, you learn that the most important jobs in the world are being a doctor, an engineer, an accountant, a lawyer, or marry a doctor. Those are the most important jobs in the world. Like, have a really safe job, have a very traditional job. And, my parents, God bless them, they immigrated from India to Canada. They risked everything to come there. They just wanted my brother and I to have a safe upbringing. And I have been, and throughout my career, and throughout my journey as a student in my career, I've always been told to stay in your lane. And what I unlocked when I was working at this firm, Deloitte, for 12 years, is that I realized that actually the power is in the individual. It's the idea that an individual can have so much more power than ever before because of technology, because of media. And as I start to build my own power within the firm, I realized that I could have a broader impact in the world, through my ideas. And that was the launch pad for me to say, hey, what kind of damage could I do on my own? And so when I went on my own, that was a thesis. And, I've never looked back. And it was a You know, obviously working at Deloitte and helping organizations when it comes to technology and digital and AI and all these different things was a huge catalyst for me. But also, you know, working on the side and creating, like I had a creative film group with friends. I created mobile apps with friends. So just like flexing my muscle and developing new skills outside of my firm, I realized that there is a bigger and broader world and we can do so much damage. And so, you know, I just really want to embark create my own path and my own journey push against what my parents and society told me to do, which is, you know, take a very safe route.
Blanchard's actually come out with a new program around fearless innovation, and it really focuses on kind of mindsets and skill sets. Innovation is not a new thing, but to innovate, you have to continually do that to survive. What did you learn as you were researching this book and throughout your career? What do you want to get across to people about how to harness innovation, how to lean into innovation, how to lead innovation?
You know, one of the insights looking at innovators throughout history, disruptors throughout history, is that they're all imposters. Every single one of them is an imposter. What does that mean? They are all individuals that didn't have the skills, they didn't have the tech, they didn't have the resources, they didn't have expertise, but they went ahead and they moved ahead while they were scared. And That's the story of innovation. The story of innovation is imposters forging through the darkness, through uncertainty, and trying to make sense of the world and trying to create something that will put a dent in the universe. And so I guess my ask to the audience is, fearless innovation is not about confidence. It's not about courage that you somehow, you know, get instilled. It's actually walking through the darkness, like scared, and building that muscle every single day to try hard things, to build this muscle of boldness. To me, boldness is this idea of deliberately and consciously exposing yourself to challenges. It's deliberately and consciously exposing yourself to suffering. It's deliberately and consciously exposing yourself to this uncertainty. And then it's just waking up every single morning and flexing that muscle every single day. And those are the people that actually, you know, created the future. And so if you have no idea what you're doing in life, if you have no idea what you're doing with your business, that's okay, because that's what the best innovators and disruptors throughout history did as well. And so that's the best learning that I can give from my research from the book.
You talk about this concept of one true fan. Tell the listeners how they can kind of harness your ideas around that.
Great question. One true fan is this idea that you only need one person that believes in your mission. Find that one person that can align with your mission. And I promise you, today, in a world where technology is ubiquitous, in a world where you can access the globe, you will find other people. But if you can, if you have one person that connects with your message, then I believe that you can make an impact. You know, Kevin Kelly has this great author. He has this idea of 1,000 true fans. It's the idea that by having 1,000 true fans, you can build your career. You can monetize those 1,000 people with like $10 a month and build a sustainable career by just servicing those 1,000 people. But I believe today that in a world that is truly global, that to me, one person means 1,000. Like, and just cater to that one person, and you will absolutely find your base. You will absolutely find people that you can serve. And so that's what I would say. And that's hard to do. It's funny, because you're finding one person that completely aligns with your mission and what you are you're striving for is hard. But if you could service that person, I promise you, you'll be successful.
So you talk about engineering a hot streak. And it made me think about Ken Blanchard's stories. I've been fortunate enough to work with Ken for coming up on 20 years at the point of this recording, Sean. And you know, here's a guy that creates the SL2 model, writes the 1 Minute Manager, goes on to write 60 wow. to 70 additional books, has sold millions of copies. As an author, you know the Herculean nature of all those things. But each of those things on their own could be a legacy, right? Each of those could be something you could hold up standard. But this is a person that has had a hot streak throughout his career. My question for you, because you bring it up in the book, how do you, as you say, how do you engineer that? How do you put yourself in position to stay on a heater, so to speak?
Yeah, I think it's important to understand how you start the hot streak before you stay on a heater. Number one is you have to waste your time. You have to go through and explore the different domains, learn skills. Go through this process where you are, discovering yourself. If you look throughout history, there's some really great research by a researcher named Eugene Wang, and he talks about this idea of every innovator, every disruptor goes through this process of going through years of just exposing themselves to different domains, and at some point, they exploit that interest, they exploit that skill set, and then they go on a hot streak. And so you have to be able to, what I call, develop different gifts. And then at some point you stack those gifts together. Like you become very good at writing, or you become very good at, artistry or stand-up comedy. And then you can combine those gifts together, to be an amazing stand-up. And so it's like you have to be able to develop those gifts over time. And then in order to sustain the momentum and to sustain the streak, you have to be focused around your particular craft. And but at the same time, remain curious around, where the world is moving. Remain curious around, how do I continue to experiment on the side of what I'm doing? I talk about this idea of denting the outside, which is constantly sort of experimenting on the side, so that, when the environment shifts, you have a new way. You're not caught flat-footed. I look at somebody like LeBron James, and I don't talk about him in the book, but LeBron James is an absolute master at his craft. And if you actually look throughout his career, he's actually adapted to the game. Before, he used to play like this bully ball. And then when he went to the Miami Heat, he learned how to be part of this team and this trio with Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade. And he learned around how to be a leader. And then later on, when he was with the Cavaliers and the Lakers, he leaned out his body. He started to shoot more three-pointers. And if you look at his game today, I mean, his three-point shot is just as good as Steph Curry. Obviously, he's shooting less shots, but I mean, he's developed the game over the years, and he's adapted to the environment, and he's had hot streaks throughout his entire career. So I think that's how you remain relevant is that you continue to focus on your craft, but you build different skills throughout your career. And I think that's how you stay relevant. Most people, the reason why they don't stay relevant is because they just become very narrow at their craft. They become so sucked in around what they are good at, and they stop learning. They rest on their laurels. They go to the top of the mountain, and they don't learn, and they just rest on their particular status. And I think that's the most dangerous place to be. And so it's continuously learning, and that's how you build and maintain that momentum.
I love that you shared a story that you didn't actually put in the book with LeBron, because you have everybody from Bill Simmons in here to Rihanna to Vince Carter. I love the book for the fact that you kept us guessing on where the examples were coming from. There's so many.
Well, and to be honest with you, like, I wanted a book that was reflective of who I am, which is, I love hip hop. I love the NBA. I love culture. I love podcasts. I love just media. I, so This is the first time that this was a true reflection of me and my mind and what I'm thinking about, because I wanted to, you know, build that into the book. Like, this is like the best representation of who I am.
Yeah, absolutely. It really comes across, and I love that, Sean. So I've got a time for just a couple more questions. Let's say you're sitting across from a leader. We'll say an up and coming leader, not somebody that has been in it for a long time, but somebody that is looking ahead and starting to plot their course, and they want to kind of roll up their sleeves with you and start thinking about ultimately what is the legacy that I want to leave behind. How do you go about taking on something like that and kind of plotting your course on how you are going to impact, whether it's the industry or the place, wherever you are in the world? How do you go about having that conversation with the person across the table from you as they start thinking in those bigger terms around really leaving their mark?
You know, it's interesting. I was recently with my brother-in-law, who has been incredibly successful. He sold his first company, working on a really interesting high-tech company over the last number of years. He's part of like these really exclusive elite entrepreneurs and CEOs. And so he was at this like forum with other CEOs. And I said, like, what was your insight like hobnobbing with some of the, you know, some of the most successful people on the planet? And he said, I came back from that meeting and I came back and I thought to myself, these guys are just as vulnerable and as unsure as I am and as anybody else is, you know, around the world. And I think as a young leader that is trying to navigate and excel in today's disruptive and innovative environment, you think that you need to have the answers, or you need to be able to come up with the best decisions. But the most innovative leaders in the world are the leaders that have vulnerability. They're the ones that can step back, they can seek assistance, they can admit ignorance, they can build an environment for learning and change. I think that's number one, which is embracing vulnerability. Number two, it's collaborating with others. It's learning how to build within an ecosystem with partners around us, whether it's vendors or suppliers or other leaders. You know, how do you lean on other people? And that's like just building teamwork and interpersonal skills. I think number three is like this willingness to be a rookie. Right. I think it's the ability to step your status aside. I talk about a status a lot, but it's being able to listen to people that are on the ground floor that just joined the organization, to listen to people that are on the cutting edge, or they're in their basement, they're in their backyard working on things that you think are crazy. So it's willing to be a rookie and willing to be a sponge. And ultimately at the end, it's just having this bold mindset, right? It's being able to say, how do I try to, I have this quote that I say at the end of my keynotes, which is, how do I try to get myself fired? It's how do I try to get myself fired every single day? It's not like punching somebody in the face. It's how do I take a very small risk today, a very small bet today that will change my trajectory and the organization's trajectory. And by having that mindset of how do I try to get myself fired, it's actually about having a disruption mindset, because disruption is really about how do you get yourself fired before someone fires you. And so if you can have this mindset, you will not only take risks every single day, but you will just move your own career forward and the organization forward. So I think those are some things that I would offer as advice to young leaders.
Love that. Thank you. I always like to end the podcast with this question, and I pose it to you. What is the one thing that if our listeners just took one thing away from what we've talked about today, what would you want that to be?
Number one, I believe that it's the idea that we have way more power than we think, that we can make a absolute dent in the universe if we realize it. the idea that technology is becoming commoditized, knowledge is becoming commoditized, and it's becoming so much easier to build an audience, to build an impact, to build products and services than ever before. So if you're listening to this in your cubicle, in your car, if you're running, whatever it might be, just know that everyone has this ability to be a bold one, no matter where you live globally. And I think that's incredibly inspiring.
Sean, if people want to dig a little bit deeper into you, learn a little bit more about all the fun things you're doing, where would you send them?
Well, number one, please do not. Please listen to this podcast, Blanchard Leadership Leader Chat Podcast. Subscribe, rate, review, whatever you got to do with this pod, because Chad and the team they're putting in the work. So that's number one. And if you have any time after that, you can follow me on LinkedIn, Sean Canungo. Send me a note, say you listen to this pod, and how much you enjoyed it. How about that?
Sean Canungo, thank you so much. I love the plug. Listeners, definitely find him on LinkedIn. Seriously, I really enjoyed the book. Really enjoyed the book. Again, sometimes books I realize are really made for me, and this was one. Hang out, because we have a lot of shared interests, which I think that kind of carried through as well. But yeah, anyway, Drake's in here. I already mentioned Rihanna. You know, you've got a lot of basketball references. But thank you so much for your time today. Thank you for your boundless interview. I know you're on the road at the moment of us doing this recording. You're speaking in Colombia. So keep.
Cartagena, yes.
In Cartagena, yeah, absolutely. So keep fighting the good fight and getting out there and sharing your message. Thanks so much for taking some time to share your expertise with myself and our amazing listeners here at the Blanchard Leader Chat Podcast.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for joining us for today's podcast. If you enjoyed the interview, go ahead and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts, and please share it with your friends. The best way you can help us grow is feedback. So write a review if you haven't already. This podcast is brought to you by Blanchard, the heart of human achievement. Visit Blanchard.com for additional resources to help you and your organization succeed. Now it's my pleasure to turn today's podcast over to Ken Blanchard for his final thoughts.
Thanks, Chad, for interviewing Sean about his wonderful book, The Bold Ones. I just love the subtitle, Innovate and Disrupt to become truly indispensable. What he's really saying is that what you got to do is you got to be an ongoing learner. People have to keep their eye looking forward, not backwards. Challenge conventional wisdom. You can't you can no longer maintain the status quo. Keep on going. Keep on going. I just love that, you know. Don't take the safe route. So his stuff is just fabulous, you know, because we want to constantly be continuous learner. And I love his last advice to everybody. We have way more power than we think. We can make a difference. So be a bold one, you know, be a really bold one, you know, and don't get hung up in one domain. Constantly be a learner, push yourself. You know, people ask me why I've written almost 70 books. Because I'm a learner. I constantly want to learn from different people. You know, Norman Vincent Peale, Gary Ridge from WD-40, all kinds of interesting people that have pushed me to be a learner. So be a learner, push yourself. Don't stay with the status quo. Keep on going. Become a bold one. Thanks, Chad, and thanks especially to you, Sean. You're really special. Read his book. It can make a difference in your life.